Frost. From Salisbury, Rhodesia, from Moscow, and from Islamabad, Pakistan, comes today's news. Good evening, everybody. This is Lowell Thomas.
Explorer, world traveler, foreign correspondent, lecturer, author of more than 50 books, and a network radio broadcaster for 46 years. He was born in Woodington, Ohio in 1892 and began his career on a newspaper in Cripple Creek, Colorado. Somehow he didn't seem to age much, especially for his listeners, and he became the voice of what was then radio news.
And when I first went on, I had all the air of the entire world to myself alone, no one else at all. I had the first regular network news broadcast in history, and that's fantastic good luck. I did the first broadcast from an airplane. I did the first from down in a mine, the first from a ship at sea. I broadcast from a plane, from a pursuit plane flying over Berlin when the city was burning and when the Russians were coming in for the last battle with the Germans.
He doesn't even know how many times he's been around the world. His listeners never knew where he'd turn up. In 1962, it was the Antarctic.
Good evening, everybody. Although they jokingly call this a heat wave, it's only 40 below now, it's cold enough that you have to wear your Antarctic clothes and the fur-trimmed hoods of the parkas. Well, they cover your face so completely that you can't tell an admiral from a seabee.
Still in his 20s, Lowell Thomas was covering the exploits of Lawrence of Arabia in the Middle East. After World War I, he toured the United States, filling theaters with his accounts and pictures of the war and other events in far-off countries. He was with the pilots who first flew around the world. He visited primitive tribes at a time when the Western world had seen very little of their life. He reported from Europe about the threat of war in the 1930s, and then covered World War II in every theater of operations. And even as he invented so many techniques in radio news, he also, just about, invented the blooper.
Victor Lewis calling the Peking talks, nothing more than a Mad Hatter meeting, and he asks, how long can one go on drinking tea and tea in Peking? From Memphis, Tennessee, the story of a holdup, almost, the way it happened, a would-be bandit walking into a local gas station.
And so long until tomorrow.
Actually, there have only been about a half a dozen of them in 50 years. But I think I've made more famous bloopers than anybody else in the history of the electronic era. And whenever I've broken up, that's been the end of the show.
Thomas lives on this estate of several hundred acres in Pawling, New York. Even without his success on the air, he would be a millionaire through his other business interests in television and radio stations and newspapers. And after he stops his radio broadcasts, well, he'll be continuing his series of reports for public television, and he's getting two new books ready for publication. He's not retiring, you know. After all, he's only 84.
Instead of my usual so long until tomorrow, or rather so long until Monday, because this is Friday, tonight it will simply be, here's to all of you, and so long.
Well, if Lowell will permit me, this is Walter Cronkite, CBS News. So long until Monday.
1925, when I was 2 years old and most of you weren't born, Lowell Thomas made his first radio broadcast. He's been the most durable and maybe the best known of radio newscasters. But basically what Lowell Thomas is the last of the great romantic reporters. He was the man reporting from strange places and on first-name terms with exotic leaders. The news, he used to say, comes tonight from... And then he would mention places like Annapurna and Rangoon and the Ran of Kutch that weren't in any other news broadcast that night. He was the kind of reporter that made kids want to be reporters. Tonight, 51 years after his first radio broadcast, he made his last regular newscast for CBS Radio so that at 83 he can spend more time on other things. He has some specific projects lined up. He's an avid sportsman. They let cameras into his New York office studio tonight for that final broadcast.
I want to pay my respects to all of you who have listened in. I'll be having a brief vacation, perhaps doing some glacier skiing in the mountains of British Columbia and Alaska. Instead of my usual so long until tomorrow or until Monday, this is Friday, tonight it will simply be, here's to all of you, and so long.
Finally this evening, Lowell Thomas. He was born in the 19th century and became one of the most famous journalists of the 20th. He's been everywhere, met everyone, and done just about everything. He was, for example, with Lawrence of Arabia in the First World War. He has been on the radio for 47 years and on television for 36 years. And in a long life filled with memorable occasions, today was a memorable occasion for Lowell Thomas. Richard Hunt covered this story for us.
Prince Charles, heir to the British throne, is in the news again.
Well, Lowell Thomas usually ended his program with a human interest story. This one was about the Prince of Wales. Then the sign-off he used for 46 years, a phrase that millions of people remember.
And now, so long until tomorrow.
When he began broadcasting on network radio in 1929, Thomas was heard on both NBC and CBS, over stations in different parts of the country. After a year, he broadcast only for NBC. In February 1940, Thomas made the first television news broadcast. It was done simultaneously with his nightly radio program on NBC. He moved to CBS in 1947. Now he's giving up his regular radio program, but Lowell Thomas is not retiring. At the age of 84, he has plans to work until he's 100 on his television programs, among other things.
I'm making plans to do another series that will last 5 years or 6 years. That sounds absurd, I know, for anyone of my vintage, but if I was to give you the details on it, I think that you would agree that it could be done all right. I expect to go on and on for, well, at least another 16 years, so I expect to be using So Long Until Tomorrow hundreds of times in the future.
Until just before his last regular news broadcast tonight, Thomas would not say how he intended to do his farewell sign-off. He decided to do it this way.
I'll be off on a brief vacation, perhaps doing some glacier skiing in the mountains of British Columbia and Alaska. Instead of my usual so long until tomorrow or until Monday, since this is Friday, tonight it will simply be, here's to all of you, and so long.
84. Every once in a while, some of us in the anchorman business find ourselves with Lowell Thomas. The last time we were all together, he reminded us of some basic facts. When he first became a broadcast journalist, Walter Cronkite was 13 years old. Harry Reasoner was 6 years old, and I was 2, which put us in our places, just where we belong, Lowell. Good night for NBC News.
An American journalistic institution said so long tonight. Lowell Thomas gave his last radio newscast. But as our own institution, Gabe Pressman, reports, Thomas may be leaving CBS, but he sure as heck isn't retiring.
From Salisbury, Rhodesia, from Moscow, and from Islamabad, Pakistan, comes today's news. Good evening, everybody. This is Lowell Thomas.
For 46 years, Lowell Thomas has been broadcasting to the American people, and this was how he began his last news broadcast tonight. At 84, Lowell Thomas, reporter, newscaster, explorer, businessman, author, skier, insists he's not retiring. He's going to do a lot more in TV and motion pictures. Cameramen and reporters filled the little room in his East 51st Street townhouse. Right in the middle of the hubbub, he got a call from his friend Walter Cronkite, wishing him well. When Thomas made his first radio broadcast over KDKA in Pittsburgh 51 years ago, Cronkite was 9 years old, and most of today's other newscasters hadn't even been born. One of his favorite pictures adorns the East Wall. Marco Polo, the great explorer. Explorer Lowell Thomas has led more than 20 expeditions to every continent. Was he sentimental about tonight? Not really, he said. He's looking forward to doing so much more. His answer to another question and his last words on his final national newscast tonight.
You, in your own words, have been reporting on the activities of the human race for 46 years.
Yeah, 51 years, actually.
And looking at that half century, do you think that the human race is improving or deteriorating?
Well, I'm not wise enough to answer that, Gay. Maybe you can give me the answer. I would say this. I think life has become complicated because of the rate at which the human race has been multiplying. And if the experts are correct in telling us that it's going to double again within the next 30 or 40 years, well, I don't know. It strikes me that we may be in a hell of a fix.
On a spot news program like this one,
There just isn't time to do what I would like to do. As you may have heard, I'll be off radio for a while, but there's nothing in the rumor that I am retiring. On the contrary, I'll probably be busier, more involved than ever. But tonight, I do want to thank all of my associates, and I'd like to go back many years to the beginning, 46 years ago. I want to pay a special tribute to General Sarnoff and to Bill Paley. They were the first to put me on the air with what has been the longest-running broadcast of any sort, not just news. It seems odd that at one time I had all the air of the entire world to myself alone to tell about the day-by-day adventures of the human race. Human interest stories, adventure, the colorful stories that come from right around the globe, they have always been my specialty. And the present radio format, it just doesn't allow enough time for anything but a few headlines, alas. To the members of my staff, to my colleagues with whom I have worked at CBS and NBC and the other networks too, it's utterly impossible to tell them how grateful I am. ABC isn't included in this too, because that used to be a part of it long ago. The same to all of you who have been listening to me. I'll be off on a brief vacation, perhaps doing some glacier skiing in the mountains of British Columbia and Alaska. Instead of my usual so long until tomorrow or until Monday, since this is Friday, tonight it will simply be, here's to all of you, and so long.
And there's our report for tonight, Bill Jorgensen for Channel 5.
Lowell Thomas is doing a lot better than the rest of us are. At age 84, he's been a newscaster longer than anybody else, 51 years. When he started in 1925, Roger and Eyewitness News had yet to be conceived. He's been a lecturer, an author, an explorer, but was he who discovered and made the legend of Lawrence of Arabia. And this evening, in about half an hour, Lowell Thomas will do his last radio newscast for CBS Radio. For 46 years now, he said, so long until tomorrow. Tonight he'll say so long for now. Roger.
Rhodesia, from Islamabad, Pakistan, and from Juneau, Alaska, comes today's news. Good evening, everybody. This is Lowell Thomas. At Louisville, President Ford was combining business with politics, signing into law a bill allowing him to mobilize 50,000 military reservists, if needed, for up to 90 days. The president later to address an Armed Forces Day dinner, and he's calling the reservist bill an essential in this nuclear age, adding, if we are forced to fight again, the next war is likely to be right where you are. Democrat Jimmy Carter was meeting with AFL-CIO leader George Meany in Washington, and later he said if he wins that nomination, he's confident that labor is going to support him. And now this message. In guerrilla fighting in Rhodesia, 15 more deaths, followed by mobilization of army reserves to deal with the terrorists. Also a warning to Cuba to keep hands off. Rhodesian Defense Minister Peter Vanderbilt saying, if Cuban troops attack us, we'll beat the life out of them. Also a warning to us to lay off Cuba in the communist newspaper Pravda, charging the U.S. with waging an unbridled anti-Cuban campaign, adding, the Soviet Union cannot remain indifferent to threats and pressure on the Freedom Island of Cuba. After 4 years of negotiation following their 1971 war, India and Pakistan have formally agreed to resume diplomatic relations. The reconciliation announced jointly at Islamabad. And here's an item I probably shouldn't use. It's from Juneau, Alaska. Relayed on the phone a moment ago from the Alaskan LT, the Lieutenant Governor. It says that it's in honor of one of Alaska's great friends, a pioneer spirit of the great land. Wonder who that is. Here are the exact words. Be it resolved that the members of the Alaskan State Legislature offer congratulations to Lowell Thomas Sr., America's preeminent broadcast journalist, not only for contributions to that profession, but most importantly, for his service to the nation and the state of Alaska. Adding, in tribute to his personal and professional achievements in recognition of his association with this state for more than six decades, we hereby designate Lowell Thomas Sr. an honorary citizen of Alaska. Further saying, the members of the legislature wish him success in his future endeavors, which hardly sounds like retirement. Now, modesty should have kept me from reading that. And now, this message. On a spot news program like this,
there's hardly time to do what I'd like to do at this moment. As you may have heard, I'll be off radio for a while, but there's nothing in the rumor that I'm retiring. Nothing. On the contrary, I'll probably be busier and more involved than ever. But tonight, I do want to thank all of my associates. And I want to go way back to the beginning, 46 years ago, and pay a special tribute to Bill Paley and also to General Sarnoff. They were the first to put me on the air with what has been the longest-running broadcast of any sort, not just news. Seems odd that at one time I had all the air of the entire world to myself alone to tell about the day-by-day adventures of the human race. Human interest, adventure, colorful stories from around the globe have been my specialty, and the present radio format allows only enough time for headlines. To the members of my staff and to my colleagues with whom I have worked here at CBS and for many years at NBC and the other networks too, ABC before it was ABC, it's impossible to tell them how grateful I am. And the same to all of you who have been listening. I'll be off on a brief vacation, perhaps doing some glacier skiing in the mountains of British Columbia and Alaska. Instead of my usual so long until tomorrow, or until Monday, since this is Friday, tonight it will simply be, here's to all of you, so long.
And to all of us along the network, we're going to miss Lowell Thomas saying so long until tomorrow or Monday. This is Harvey Hauptman in New York with Steve Reed of WCBS News, who talked with Lowell Thomas earlier in the day. I guess he did a lot of reminiscing, right, Steve?
Yes, he did. In between the preparations for tonight's broadcast, Lowell took some time out and he sat down and he spoke with us. He says that from the beginning, his life has been one of parallel careers. He's always had five or six things going for him at any given time. His nightly broadcast on CBS was just one of them. And at 84, Lowell Thomas looks forward to his busiest schedule as he's had through these long years. And after a vacation of skiing that he mentioned, he'll finish up work on three books, continue his series Lowell Thomas Remembers, and keep a closer eye on the more than dozen broadcast properties he has an interest in. Earlier, in between the preparations for the broadcast, Lowell Thomas shared some of his thoughts with reporters and other well-wishers, and because of the depth of his more than half century as a journalist, it seemed natural that somebody wanted to know if he thought the condition of the human race is improving or deteriorating. He said he didn't know, but he offered this observation.
Life has become complicated because of the rate at which the human race has been multiplying. And if the experts are correct in telling us that it's going to double again within the next 30 or 40 years, well, I don't know. It strikes me that we may be in a hell of a fix.
And then there was also this reflection on his search for wisdom among men.
Winston Churchill was one of the ablest men of our era, but he couldn't bring up a family. FDR was an extraordinary man, but look at the problems he had. Personally, I think the wisest man I ever knew was President Hoover, and if people rejected him for a time. Why did they reject him? Well, the world was overwhelmed by the greatest depression of all time, and his political adversaries put the blame on him. And, of course, later on they discovered that was not true at all, and then Mr. Hoover became much beloved by the American people before he died.
He was also asked about electronic journalism, and he said that he really didn't think people realized the awesome power that we have here in front of us with these microphones and with the ability to communicate instantaneously. But on specifics, he wouldn't get involved. He wouldn't get into that. He said, frankly, he hadn't watched much television and he doesn't listen to radio because he's just too busy to do it.
Steve, did he seem sad at all that he's finally calling it a career as far as radio is concerned?
Not at all. In fact, I asked him and he was careful to say, for a time. So apparently, he considers this a hiatus from CBS. He left the impression that he'd like to return one day.
He seems certainly, to those of us who get to see him every now and then, he's a remarkable man. Just listening to him, you can't believe that he's 84 years old.
Impossible. And I asked him about the vitality. Where did he get it all? He said he didn't know. He just does it. One reporter wanted to know how much traveling he did in a single year. He said he really couldn't keep track of it. He said, I've been around the world over 30 times, and I leave records and things like that to the airlines people who have an interest in it. He just doesn't know.
And a mark of the man, he says he's going to take some time off for some skiing at the age of 84 before he continues with all the other ventures he's involved in.
Yeah, well, he's an able skier. He's very good, I understand. He's just been given several awards by professional skiing associations. So he's really an outdoorsman. He's got a lot of vim, a lot of vigor.
Well, we're certainly going to miss him here at CBS, but he's not going to be missed because he's going to be around. Lowell Thomas, one of the giants of our industry, calling it a career as far as radio news broadcasting is concerned, tonight on the 14th of May. Thank you, Steve Reed. WCBS News time is 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.